Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires.
Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of the KSR Pre-Show, Monday, November 14th. I'm Billy Rutledge, along with Shannon the Dude. You can give us a call on the Clark's Pump and Shop phone line. It's 502-571-1080, or text us at 502-414-1724. A lot to digest from a busy sports weekend, some good, some really bad. Shannon the Dude is in Louisville. What's up, my man? Good to see you this morning.
Hey, good morning. Do you want to start with the good, the bad, or the ugly?
I kind of want to start with the ugly, and not to be too hard on anybody, but maybe Ryan Lemon dumping a whole table of drinks on himself at Drew's wedding. I think that may be one of the best places to start. But Shannon, you were at the Drew's wedding this weekend. How was that, man? How did that go?
The wedding itself was awesome. If anybody wants to go back and refer to the wedding scorecard that I did, I live tweeted that. You can go back and review what happened. But really, the wedding was perfect. Until one Ryan Lemon started drinking. And that's when it all sort of quickly unraveled. And some negative points were being thrown out there on the scorecard. I mean, let's start with the fact that my man spilled a drink on me. I got one good suit. One good suit. And I'm hanging out with Ryan. And all of a sudden, I feel just wetness, you know, being poured on me. I'm like, what is happening here? And I look over and Ryan has knocked his drink over. All over me. And it's cranberry, vodka, and Sprite. So now I have this one good suit that has cranberry, vodka, and Sprite on it. And now I got to take it to the dry cleaner. So I should have known that what was going to happen after that couldn't have been any better. Because then, I don't know, he disappeared for like maybe 10 minutes. And he goes, I get a call and he goes, hey, I'm getting in an Uber. I'm ready to leave. I'm like, well, you're ready to leave? What happened? He's like, I spilled a drink on me. And I see all these pictures of him with he had that shirt with it was soaking wet, I guess, in his cranberry vodka Sprite. And then he had somebody's sunglasses on, and apparently he doesn't even own sunglasses. So I don't know where those came from. But the whole thing was great until the end, and it became a debacle quickly.
So you're saying that Ryan spilled a drink on you before he smashed into a table and spilled all those drinks onto himself?
That's what I'm saying. Yes. Wow. I will testify to that in a court of law.
And that went downhill quickly.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the timeline was, if they were just serving cocktails as soon as the ceremony was over, Shannon, or what. But our man Ryan Lemon, he just had no filter, Shannon. He just went all out there and was the first one to leave the reception before even the first dances started. So what a legendary night for Ryan Lemon. And then he makes the pregame show the next morning at 8 a.m. for the Kentucky-Vandy game. And probably in the worst looking shape Ryan Lemon's ever been.
Well, let me just tell you that I actually left with Ryan in the Uber when he left.
Took him back to the Griffin Gate?
Look, I was just, I had the poor Uber driver in mind, okay? Because I'm thinking I would not want to leave this poor Uber driver with a drunk Ryan Lemon. I didn't want this person to have to ride solo with Ryan. So I was like, he needs a chaperone at this point. Mm-hmm. We were both going back to the Griffin Gate Marriott, which, by the way, was a fantastic host on Friday. For the KSR show and the pre-show. Thank you so much to Griffin Gate for having us out there. But I was like, all right, this man needs to have somebody, you know, kind of babysit him. Because I didn't know if he was going to throw up in the back seat or whatever, you know. And if that's the case, somebody's got to be there to apologize for the man on his behalf. And so I wanted to be a good friend and go back.
No, that's a good friend move, so, Shannon. So he's escorting your friend back.
He's like, let's go back to the party. Let's go hotel. Let's go hotel party. I'm like, all right, let's go hotel party. I don't even think that makes sense, but I think I kind of understood what he was trying to say at that point. So we go back to the hotel and we party. And about 10 minutes after we get back to his hotel room, he is fast asleep. He passed out. So there I was hanging out with my girlfriend in his hotel watching him sleep.
Well, I'm sure the snoring was going to be on a different level that night as well. But it just overall really funny scenes. We had a very interesting post-game show where Matt was able to join us by using a Comrex unit at the show. Chris Tomlin may have been the drunkest human being at the wedding by the time we checked in at the besides Ryan Lemon.
Yeah.
But Shannon, you did have your scorecard. I saw like mashed potato martinis and several other different things. Overall, did you have a good time at Drew's wedding?
Yeah, everything was great, man. The hors d'oeuvres were, I mean, they couldn't have been better. The mashed potato martini thing was something I had never seen before. I felt like that was almost like a Bullitt County thing, right? You know, you put a martini glass in front of you, then you put a big scoop of mashed potatoes and you put all the chives and the bacon and the cheese on there. It was awesome. It really was. The whole thing was great. But I got to tell you, our table was having way more fun than every other table. They split you up into dinner tables. Mm-hmm. And of course, I'm sitting there, right across from me is Ryan. And then we got Michael Wong and we got his wife. Yeah. And I don't know, man. I don't think most of it we could even talk about on the radio, but I would just say our table was having the most fun out of any other. All the other tables were well-behaved. Like tables 1 through 14 were all being adults. We were like a bunch of man children over here at table 15.
Was that the table that eventually got flipped by Ryan Lemon or what?
I don't know. It may have been. I'm not sure. They put us downstairs, by the way. So, you know, they had just enough room for a certain amount of tables upstairs. Then they had to put some of the tables downstairs. We were like, you know, like when you're a kid and you go to grandma's house for Thanksgiving and you don't have enough room for everybody. So they say, okay, kids, there's a folding table. We'll put this out downstairs in the basement. Kids go down in the basement, eat your Thanksgiving dinner. That was basically us at the wedding. And I think it was a smart move on Drew. He knew exactly what he was doing. He wanted to keep us away from, you know, the actual wedding itself.
Sure.
As far away as possible. And that's probably for a good reason. They kept us away from the bride and groom. We were basically the little kids.
I remember being so angry when I turned 18 and I still had to sit at the kids' table for a holiday. I think it was Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
What are you doing? I want to sit at the adult table.
Right.
But many times the kid table is more fun anyway. Yeah. So, Drew, congratulations to him. I'm really happy for him and Abby. And him splitting his pants midway through the ceremony, I think, I don't know, a good omen for the rest of their marriage or bad.
Somehow I missed that. I didn't see that until later on Twitter. I didn't see that he split his pants. But I will say, as far as the wedding itself, it was funny. It was, I think, very heartfelt, as a wedding should be. And it was only 22 minutes from start to finish.
Oh, okay. That's pretty good. That's good time.
Drew walked out to, I believe the song was You Got It Bad, Usher. I think that's right. I think I got that right. And then Abby walked out to the Forrest Gump theme song. I don't think that most people realize that. You know, the Forrest Gump theme?
Yes.
It's just like a little nice piano song.
The one where they play and the feather starts to blow away at the end of the movie?
Yes.
That's a good touch.
I'm pretty sure it was that song. If I'm wrong, I guess Drew can correct me if he's listening. But I know that he's a big fan of Forrest Gump, so I thought that was really cool that they chose that song as her walkout song.
Yeah, it sounds like those two are perfect for each other if they're willing to play a little Forrest Gump during their wedding. But Shannon, I mentioned it's been a busy weekend. Let's start with some of the bad. I think we'll get to Kentucky's basketball win over Duquesne at some point. They play Michigan State in the Champions Classic tomorrow. But the Kentucky football team loses to Vanderbilt on Saturday 24-21. Vandy had lost 26 straight SEC games. And now that streak is now snapped after the win versus Kentucky. Kentucky now 6-4 on the year, 3-4 in conference play. And I don't know where to go from here, Shannon. I mean, were our expectations too high? What does the expectations look like for the rest of the season? This is all in all one of the worst losses, if not the worst loss of the Stoops era, Shannon. I don't think that's hyperbole.
No.
With the expectations that they had going into this game and into this season, you cannot lose to Vandy. You cannot let this happen. And Kentucky did exactly that on Saturday.
And not only that, you lose to Vanderbilt's backup quarterback. They're starting quarterbacks out. They had guys who were battling the flu. Even Vandy's coach, even though he was out there, he made the game, of course, but he was struggling. You could tell he was sick. It was just an all-around systems failure. I don't know how else to put it. I mean, all the little things like the special teams issues. You had the blocked field goal again. Will Levis, you know, he's banged up. He couldn't really scramble in the pocket. Vanderbilt knew that. They took advantage of it, put pressure on him. He only threw for 109 yards against the worst pass defense in the SEC, which was giving up over 300 yards per game. And you do that to a guy who is going to be a first-round draft pick. I don't know, man. I mean, you look at Chris Rodriguez saved the team a couple of times. That 72-yard rush that he had for a touchdown. I mean, game could have been over right there.
Mm-hmm.
But you look at the whole thing, man. It was just an absolute disappointment and embarrassment.
Embarrassment is a good word for it, Shannon. There's no other way around it. This is embarrassing. And we'll get to the offense in a second, because you mentioned that Vandy allows 314 passing yards a game and Kentucky only had 109, which is, you know, mind-boggling. But was really disappointed in the defense in this game, Shannon. You mentioned they played against a backup quarterback. It kind of changed the entire scheme of Vandy's offense into a read option, run first team. And Kentucky did not fare very well. They allowed 264 rushing yards and 184 passing yards at home to a backup quarterback. You just cannot do that. I think Brad White deserves some blame in this game. But not only that, but the offensive play calling from Rich Scangarillo has reached an all-time low. I think it really has. I know it wasn't probably his decision, but Kentucky's decision to punt it on 4th and 1 at the 50-yard line in the first half of the game. That's playing to lose. That's playing scared.
You do that when you're playing Georgia. You do that when you're playing Alabama. You don't do that when you're playing a wounded Vanderbilt team. You go for it, right? You got to go for it right there.
You do. And you don't run 2 yards up the middle on an important 3rd and 8 later in the game. You don't have one combined yard on the opening drives of the first and the second half. You've got to take advantage of a team that is worse than you. And Kentucky did not do that with a quarterback that's going to be a top 3 pick in the NFL draft, with one of the best running backs you ever had, with one of the best receiving groups that you've had as a whole that you've had in a long time. The offensive line is not good, Shannon, to put it bluntly. No.
Yeah.
It is probably one of the biggest reasons why Kentucky's football season has turned out like this. But you still cannot let this happen. Call it a trap game. Maybe you were looking ahead to Georgia. Maybe you're just not that good, period. But Kentucky football, I think, has to look themselves in the mirror and realize that this was a setback for the program. I think it was, Shannon. I'm not trying to be too negative here, but, you know, now we're looking at the rest of the season where Kentucky's going to finish with maybe 7 wins if they can beat Louisville in the final game.
Yeah.
Because you just opened up as a 22-point underdog against Georgia at home, which, by the way, that game will be on national television. You'll play that 3:30 on CBS. Everybody will get to watch your next game. But, Shannon, it's just really tough, I think, to rebound from losing to Vandy, no matter who you are, no matter how many wins you have in a season. That is just not the standard here at Kentucky.
6 points in the first half. You could go all the way back to the very first play of the game when Vanderbilt fumbles the ball. You have the ball right there, and you get
0 yards.
You get 0 yards and a field goal.
And that, 0 yards.
And that right there kind of sums up the entire game. If you want to look at one play, to start at the very beginning, the first minute of the game, when you create a fumble. Or I don't know if the guy was even, if he just fumbled on his own, I can't remember. Either way, you get a turnover right out the bat, and you can't put up any more points than 3 points.
I believe it was Kedron Smith that forced the fumble, and then he had an interception a little bit later. But he was really the only guy taking advantage on defense. Maybe we underestimated the losses of DeAndre Square and Jacquez Jones. I mean, maybe these young guys aren't getting it done, but this happens right before Kentucky gets ready to launch their NIL collective. This, you know, realize this is the day, Shannon, right?
Yeah.
This is the day where Mark Stoops was teasing that, you know, fans can get invested with these subscription services. I'm sure Matt Jones will have some more details on KSR from 10 a.m. to noon and announcements later today. But could the timing be worse for Kentucky football? I'm not sure.
Absolutely not. Again, I go back to us talking on Friday. There's no chance this is going to be a game. This team has lost 26 SEC games in a row. There's no way this game should even be close. But I will tell you, though, you know, looking back at the overall projection of the season, Max Duffy might be right. This is probably going to be a 7-5 team. Again, that's if you beat Louisville. And that's no gimme game. It's not. It looked like it may be at the beginning of the season, but considering the way Kentucky's playing now, you know, Louisville's pulled off a couple of upset wins.
Louisville beat a top 10 Wake Forest team.
Yeah, it's looking like look, it's 7-5 at best at this point.
Yep. You're looking at like the Liberty Bowl or the Music City Bowl. Yep. So, you know, we want to hear from you. 502, or is that the number? Yes, it is. 502-571-1080. 502-414-1724 if you'd like to text us. We'd like to hear some of your reaction from Kentucky losing to Vanderbilt. And also so many other things. We got the UK soccer team achieving heights that we didn't think they'd ever achieve. We got the UK basketball team winning games. We'll talk much more about it next. He's Shannon the Dude and Billy Rutledge. This is the KSR Pre-Show.
You gotta fight for your right to
party. Welcome back. This Monday edition of the KSR Pre-Show. Maybe a couple of us partying a little too hard this weekend. as Ryan was just on one.
Man, I saw that picture of him. Of course, I wasn't a part of the pregame show. But I saw the pictures of Ryan after that night of drinking and after that wedding party that we all loved. And because everything there was perfect except for Ryan.
Yep. And like you said, Shannon, that pregame show the next morning, he was finally starting to come to after he had a little bit of an L8 bourbon slushie.
Oh, God.
You know, that's the best medicine for it, right? Is to just start drinking the next morning.
That's right. Hair of the
dog. And he was struggling for half of that show. But speaking of bourbon, it was nice to drink a Country Boy Brewing beer after all the bourbon that I've had the last couple of days, Shannon. You know, the bourbon vending machine that we got to check out at the Griffin Gate Marriott and even some of the tasting that we did at our KSR pre-show remote on Friday. On Sunday, I was finally able to kick back and have a brew and watch my Buccaneers win in Germany. Actually, that game started at 9:30. So Country Boy Brewing has a brew for every occasion, whether you're waking up for a 9 a.m. kickoff of an NFL game, or maybe you're just getting home after a long day at work. The shotgun wedding is maybe something we'll give Ryan Lemon next time instead of all those liquor drinks that he had at the wedding.
Like an actual shotgun wedding?
Well,
he was in the state of mind. He probably would have gotten married on the spot that night.
I don't want an actual shotgun wedding, and I don't want him to shotgun any of these Country Boy beers. But the brown ale aged on vanilla beans is always a good option, along with the Cougar Bait, the Key Lime Cougar Bait, the Witness the Citrus, New England IPA. There's plenty of options. Pick up a six-pack today at your local retailer, Country Boy Brewing. Thank you for everything you do in sponsoring the pre-show.
Absolutely. Thank you very much, Country Boy. You mentioned your Tampa Bay Buccaneers. My Green Bay Packers finally got back on the winning side of things.
Big win.
Big win over the Cowboys in overtime.
Yes.
It was a great game, so happy about that. I hated the Cowboys as a kid because they were so good, and that's the team that Green Bay could never beat in the 90s with Troy Aikman, Emmitt Smith, Michael Irvin, all those guys.
You know, people sometimes say the opposite, right? It's like the only team that was on TV, and that's the team that they grew up watching so much, and they just naturally adopted the team. I'm on your side, though, Shannon, not a fan of America's team, the Dallas Cowboys, because of all the coverage that they get, I think, a lot of the time.
I always thought America's team was the Packers. You're telling me that America's team is the Cowboys?
It is the Cowboys, yes. It's the Packers are not America's team when you got to go sit at the ice bowl to watch a game. I mean, it's 0 degrees outside. You want to watch a Green Bay game. It's not America's team.
Yeah, that's called football.
Shannon, Kentucky beat Duquesne 77-52 Friday night. Like I said, a very eventful post-game show. We had a legendary first segment with Matt checking in from the Comrex unit, talking to Chris Tomlin and Tall and Hubby and really just doing a good job reporting on the scene. Here's the problem, Shannon. We were not broadcasting live on 630 WLAP during that time.
So what was happening on WLAP?
We were live on 840. We were live on all the other stations, but the one in Lexington was just 16 minutes of dead air, Shannon.
God.
And I felt really bad about it.
Is it your fault? Whose fault is
it? I'm just going to take the blame. I'm not going to point fingers at anybody. It was on me. But we did podcast it. So if you missed the first segment, you can go back and listen to it on the KSR feed. But Shannon, Max and I had a fun time recapping a big win for the Cats. They win 77-52 and now take on Michigan State tomorrow. I think the biggest takeaway from the game for me was seeing the coal miner, Michael McGuire, and his family. He came out. He was the Y when they did the Kentucky spelling out. I thought that was the really coolest. That was definitely the coolest part in a game that I don't know how eventful it really was. What did you think of that?
Well, I didn't really watch the game itself because we were at the wedding, and they did have it on in the very back, but nobody was really paying attention to it because there were so many other shenanigans going on. But, I think that was a really cool move on Kentucky and specifically Calipari's part to bring in that man who was at the blue-white game with his kid, just got off work, had all the coal dust still on him and everything. And of course, that story went viral. But yeah, really cool that they brought him in to do the why.
Xavier Wheeler comes in off the bench, 11 points and 11 assists. He was plus 32 in the 28 minutes he played in the game. As much as we sang the praises of Cason Wallace, the freshman, and maybe taking some minutes away from Xavier Wheeler, the first team All-SEC player came back with a vengeance and showed why he is so valuable to Kentucky this year. He looked really good. So did Antonio Reeves, who came out and scored a team-high 18 points with 4 or 6 from deep. So Antonio Reeves just looks like that piece, Shannon. I was saying this on the postgame show. The piece you have to make a national championship run. Mm-hmm. He's going to be that sixth man of the year, like we've discussed a little bit. The shooting ability, the ball handling ability that this guy has. I've been very pleasantly surprised by not only C.J. Frederick and his shooting ability, but Antonio Reeves and what he's brought to this team.
Yeah, having a great sixth man is crucial. I mean, you look at the 2012 team, the sixth man with Darius Miller was such a huge part of that team, and you got a knockdown shooter with Reeves. But just looking at the stat sheet here, you know, we're talking about Wheeler and Wallace and how are the minutes going to shake out. It looks like they got the exact same amount of playing time. So
did they really?
I think Cal is going to actually figure out a way to get both of those guys out there. If not at the same time, at least try to distribute their minutes where they're getting equal playing time or at least close to it, as long as Wallace continues to play well.
Yeah, they seem to play really well in that game versus Duquesne. And one more guy that we've got to mention, Ugo Onyenzo, man. He has just been such a delight to watch, all the blocking that he does, 9 points and 10 rebounds in 19 minutes. He's a guy that may be playing more and more and more, not just cutting into the minutes of Lance Ware, but possibly the minutes of Oscar Tshiebwe. John Calipari gave an update of Oscar Tshiebwe for the game versus Michigan State on Tuesday. He said, quote, "I don't know." Says he hopes he plays, but he'll need to go through workouts without that knee swelling.
I thought this was just a minor little thing that wasn't going to take
any time. That's what
they tell us. And it feels like, okay, I've heard this story before. You know, now we're talking about maybe he's not going to play. I would think that he's going to play. Like, if you put your confidence level that he's going to play, what would you put it at?
60, I'm not very 50, confident. 40? I was going to say 40% that I think Oscar Tshiebwe plays.
They need him, man. They really do. I mean, you can get away without Oscar and Wheeler and Collins for these early games when you're playing a Duquesne or a Howard, but you cannot get away with not having those guys playing significant minutes when you're playing against Michigan State.
A Michigan State, a team that should have beat Gonzaga this weekend. Yeah. I'm sure if you watched that game, but that was on an aircraft carrier. They had plenty of shots to win at the very end. They led for most of the game. So I think you're right. They're going to need Oscar Tshiebwe in the very near future. All right, we're going to take a break. We'll take your phone calls next. 859-280-2287. It's Shannon the Dude.
Wrong number. 502-571-1080.
See, I almost said that in the first segment, too.
502-571-1080.
Okay, that's the number. We'll be back. Get it, put it in you. Hey, little sister shotgun. Welcome back. Rolling along on a Monday, it's Billy Rutledge and Shannon the Dude. Not only do we have loaded lines in Louisville, but there's some lines in Lexington starting to pop off after I gave the wrong phone number. So it's 502-571-1080 if you'd like to join this morning. Or you can text us at 502-414-1724. One person writes in, "Not sure I've ever been as disappointed as I was on Saturday. We started tailgating before 9 a.m., sat in the snow, and that was what was put on the field. 10 years ago, you'd expect that, but that's all we've heard. We've got to change our mindset, and the days of old Kentucky are gone. Probably an overreaction, but it feels like we took 10 steps back from where we have been the last 4 seasons." And it's hard not to agree with some of what he's saying, Shannon, especially when it was snowing and the weather was so bad on Saturday. A salute to everybody that was at that game and braving the elements, but it's hard to not have a bad taste in your mouth after that game.
What was the official attendance on that? Because it did not look like a good turnout on TV.
I'm not sure.
Saw a lot of empty seats. But anyway, I mean, it just goes to show you, though, that one game can change everyone's perspective. You know, you lose to a Vanderbilt team that you had no business losing to, and you go back to the conversations that we were having before the season, and let's build a statue of Mark Stoops, and now everybody's like, what the hell is going on? You got to make some changes. Just one game like that can change everyone's mindset quickly. And I think that's what happened after that game on Saturday.
You know, you don't want to be a prisoner of the moment. You don't want to overreact or give hyperbole, but I mean, this is a disaster. I think this is a, you know, the season is a failure. Not to be too harsh, but You can't lose to Vanderbilt at home, especially after you'd already lost to South Carolina at home. I don't think you can objectively look at what Kentucky's done this year and be satisfied.
You can look at the South Carolina game and say, well, we didn't have Will Levis. So that's why we're playing a backup quarterback. You can make excuses for that, but there is no excuse that you can possibly make for losing to Vandy on Saturday. Kentucky Dude says, fellas, we've used the phrase all systems failure too many times this season, and it's going to cost some coaches their jobs. Something has to change, and it should start with getting an actual special teams coordinator. No excuse for not having one.
Yeah, the special team stuff has just been head-scratching, hasn't it? I mean, they were so good last year, and then for them to be so poor this year, I'm not sure what's changed. And even it's not the same thing, whether it be the snap, the hold, or the kick.
Yeah.
But 502-571-1080, let's start getting some reaction. Let's get to these phones. Who's up first, Shane?
All right, we'll start with Mike. Hello, Mike.
Hey, Mike.
Hey, good morning, guys. First of all, you know, last weekend against Missouri, like that Missouri game was a good win. That was nothing to discount. That was a good win. And they kind of saved the season, so to speak. And then to turn around and lose to Vanderbilt. So what do you guys think is worse? The single game against St. Peter's or this football season?
Ooh. Mm. The whole season versus the single game.
Yeah. I think the St. Peter's loss is always going to be worse. You put that up against this Vanderbilt game alone. If you just wanted to do not even the whole season for the football team, just this Vanderbilt loss. It's an embarrassing loss, but losing to St. Peter's, I think, is always going to be worse than just about anything you can possibly come up with.
Yeah, I mean, that you were a national laughingstock for a quite a bit of time with the St. Peter's loss. That's something that will be brought up 40, 50 years from now. Eventually, this will just be another Kentucky football season in the book, so I'll have to go St. Peter's.
But I think overall, though, if you look at the expectations, the talent level that this Kentucky football team has this year, this is the worst loss in the Stoops era, just my opinion.
It's the worst loss. So here's my take on it. You know, good teams lose in the NCAA tournament. They get upset. It happens year after year. They haven't won an SEC game in – literally years.
Yeah.
Yeah. 2019.
Yeah.
Last time they won.
26 game losing streak.
It's just awful. It's just.
It doesn't make sense, really. I mean, you look at all the numbers. Yeah. You look at the fact that Kentucky has, as you mentioned in the first segment, Billy, a first round quarterback, a great running back. And you look at Vanderbilt giving up 300 passing yards a game. It just doesn't make sense when you look at the numbers and add up everything. I don't know how to make any sense of what happened.
Well, when you see a team that's not ready to play, when you see a team that doesn't have energy on the sidelines, I think that falls on the coaching staff, Shannon. I don't care if it's Vandy. I don't care if it's 30 degrees outside and snow flurries are coming down.
Vanderbilt's
should be ready to play every game.
Vandy's playing in the same elements. I don't want to hear anything about the weather.
You've got to take care of business.
It's not like it was a blizzard when Kentucky had the ball, and then as soon as Vandy got the ball, the sun came out and it was 70 degrees. I don't want to hear any excuses about the weather.
You're playing the backup quarterback.
Yes.
Come on.
Yeah. Anything else, Mike?
No, you guys are good. Appreciate it. Thanks.
Thanks, man. Thanks for the call.
Thank you, Mike. That's right. Frustrating. Let's take a call. Who's next?
Let's go to Michael.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hanging in there, man. What about you?
I'm a little frustrated. I mean, you know, it's what I was most frustrated about is Rodriguez would get the ball, run 5, 6, 7 yards, you know, or 3 or 4 yards, and then another 3 or 4 yards, we'd be 3rd and 4 or 3rd or whatever, and then he's not in the game. And then it's just frustrating. But then, you know, you listen to the comments to the reporters on the Facebook page, and, you know, Will Levis was clearly still frustrated. He said, I've made some mistakes, but people didn't come out and play. And then Scangarillo just, like, sat there and was like, well, you know, I don't know. It's really confusing. You know, some people didn't run their routes the right way, blah, blah, blah. And then the defensive coordinator was like, look, I feel horrible and I feel like I failed the team. And all of a sudden I'm thinking everybody else is taking some kind of credit, but the offensive coordinator just sitting there going, well, you know, we missed some things and there's some receivers did this and how can he do that? And I don't know. It's just frustrating that he should have taken a whole lot more responsibility, in my opinion.
Yeah, we talked about on Friday what was everyone's opinion going to be of our offensive coordinator, Scangarillo. And I said, really, it depends on what happens these last three games.
Mm.
And I think that's the final straw. That's the straw that broke the camel's back when you lose to Vanderbilt like that. So,
well, he's also a guy go ahead, Michael.
Sorry, go ahead. I think that's the reason why you saw them out there, you know, talking to the press. I think the coach went in and said, look, this is a loss. We're all going to take this. So you guys need to go out there and explain what the heck went on.
Yeah.
And it's just, I mean, and there was a responsibility taken by the defensive coordinator. And then Will Levis, he's like, man, I don't feel good. But, you know, I got really frustrated because people weren't playing the way they did. And you could see it because he yelled at the offensive line. But that's just part of being a captain, in my opinion. I still think he took good credit. I just don't think Scangarello just didn't. I mean, I wouldn't say he didn't care, but I think he just was like, you know what? I mean, it happened and it sucks, but people didn't do what they were supposed to do.
Thank you for calling, Michael. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Michael. Yeah, and this is an offensive coordinator in Scangarello that is in an unfamiliar position. This is a guy that's never coached at the college level. This is a guy that's never called plays before at the college level. So there are many things that need to be worked out. And maybe that falls on Stoops for hiring a guy that isn't prepared to be doing the things that needed to be done. But Shannon, we've heard that he's a great quarterback's coach. He just may not be very good at calling plays. It's 2-point conversion. You get a penalty, so you're at the 1-yard line. Why are you running with Jutaan McClain? Why not run with Chris Rodriguez for that 1 yard after he just scored a 72-yard touchdown? I don't care if he's tired. Take a timeout so your player can get back in the game.
I like to think that that's actually Steve Zahn, who has been our offensive coordinator the entire season, and we just didn't realize it. You know, they did that little parody with him and Steve Zahn talking about how much they looked alike. I don't know, man. You think if Steve Zahn were calling the plays, we'd be in the same situation? I don't know. Anyway,
I would not be surprised if they move on from him after this season.
Yeah, well, yeah, unless something crazy happens in the Georgia game and we have some sort of offensive explosion. Otherwise, I don't know how you justify the guy keeping his job. I just don't. Did you notice how long it took for Stoops to come out and do his post-game press conference after the game?
Oh, did I notice? We had to tap dance and fill time on the UK Sports Network until he came out.
I forget that you produced that. So, yeah, you all had to call the soccer coach up, right?
We called the soccer coach during the post-game football show, and the poor soccer coach were like, can you please help us fill time because we are waiting for Stoops. But yes, he did fill in. And how about the soccer team getting a big win, winning the Sun Belt League Championship after defeating James Madison on Sunday 2-0? A little ring the bell for them.
Coach Johan Cedergren, I like that he had to be the one to come on after that loss because, you know, I don't know. Maybe people did want to talk soccer. No one wanted to talk football after that loss.
Somebody's got to explain what just happened, and we're going to go to the soccer coach now on our celebrity hotline.
Yeah, I'm sure there was a very spirited conversation between Mark Stoops and not only his coaching staff, but his players and everyone else involved in that game.
One more note, the soccer team's draw for the NCAA tournament is today at 1 p.m. on NCAA.com. So there's a chance Kentucky will host some games. They're the only team in the country to not have a loss this year. So let me say that again. The only team in the country to not have a loss is UK soccer. So congratulations to them, and looking forward to see where they'll play in the NCAA tournament. Shannon, what do we got time for? Can we do one more call?
Yeah, let's go to Andy. What's up, Andy?
Hey, Andy.
Hey, just want to say that pass I was going to give Scangarella for another year last year, I'm taking that back, obviously. I agree that it's not just in the Stoops era. It's the most disappointing loss since I can remember. Because, I mean, even the losses like back in the 90s and 2000s, you didn't have that kind of high expectation. And not only that, you didn't have the talent that you had on this team as far as NFL talent and such. And I really think this is going to set the team back. I don't know how many years. But it's going to blend in with, you know, you got recruiting, NIL, the coaching changes that's going to have to be made. And you're basically, I'm not going to say you're starting from scratch, but you're definitely going in the wrong direction with this loss. And I really don't know what you do from here. I'm more worried about the offseason than I am the rest of this season, because no matter what you do the rest of the season, unless you beat Georgia, which that's not going to happen. There's no way to save the season. And one final note. when people like me and Ryan Lemon, when you tell us to party, we're all in. We don't just do it halfway.
Yeah. He went from 0 to 100 real quick at the wedding on Friday.
That's all I got. You guys have a good day.
All right, Andy. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Andy.
Yeah. If you listen to some of Stoops' post-game press conference that he, or that interview, I guess it was with Tom Leach, I don't want to put words in his mouth or anything, but the way he was talking, if you try to read between the lines, and that's what we do a lot of times, it felt like, you know, he had to have some conversations with some guys and look, let's not make any decision or anything, you know, just talking about how easily guys can transfer from school to school now with the rule that being the way that it is. And, you know, it almost like he was alluding to guys already having a conversation about wanting to transfer after the game.
That's why today was so important, Shannon, with the announcement of this NIL collective and how Kentucky fans can help keep football players on the team. I mean, help keep basketball players on the team. This is a significant part of it. Will Kentucky be able to keep the likes of Deion Walker and Berrion Brown and Dane Key and all these talented freshmen that have been made great plays for Kentucky this year? It's going to be a real question on whether they stay on the team. So, you know, where does Kentucky go from here? I think they've got to pick themselves up and have a good showing on national television. You can't lose to your rival at home, the University of Louisville and Scott Satterfield, who still has a job.
Yep.
And then you hopefully go win a bowl game and maybe get to 8 wins on the season. But right now, it is not a good look for Mark Stoops and the Kentucky football program. 502-571-1080. We've got one segment to go, but before we take a break, Shannon, tell me a little bit about QC Kinetics.
Yeah, QC Kinetics. If you have joint pain, you know that it doesn't just keep you from doing what you love. It also affects your job, your relationships, just everything in life. And QC Kinetics uses advanced regenerative medicine to restore and repair damaged joint tissue, giving you your life back, whether it be your hips, your shoulders, your elbows, wherever your joint pain is. They can all be treated with natural biologics from your own body. We're talking about powerful healing agents, highly concentrated. If you're tired of steroid shots that don't work or avoiding surgery, call QC Kinetics now to schedule your free consultation at 859-534-8600. That's 859-534-8600. It's all natural treatment that can give you lasting relief, and people that have already had the procedure are raving about it. So call now. Appointments are available at QC Kinetics with no drugs, no pain meds, no downtime. 859-534-8600.
One segment to go on the show before the show. It's the KSR pre-show. That's exactly right. Manic Monday here on the KSR pre-show. Final segment. It's Billy Rutledge and Shannon the Dude. We want to hear from you. 502-571-1080. We also want to see you tomorrow at our remote, a rare Tuesday remote that we will be in Somerset tomorrow at Don Franklin. So get your shoes ready, Shannon, because we're going out.
Oh, yeah. This is where we did the push-up challenge last time, too, right?
Oh, is that
the same
right?
Location? I think it is.
Might be. Yeah, I think so. I can knock out more than 40 now since it's been a year.
Okay. Well, has it been that long? I don't think it's been that long, has it?
I think it's been about a year.
I think it's been like maybe 5 or 6 months or something like that. Either way, though, join us out there. We're going to have a good time tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And then, of course, we got another remote coming up on Friday. We're going to be at Bypass Rental in Lexington.
Exciting stuff. A little double dip of the KSR and KSR pre-show that you can get this week. Before we get back to the phones, Shannon, did you see the video of those vintage aircrafts colliding midair in Dallas?
No. When did this happen?
So this happened over the weekend, and at a Wings Over Dallas air show, 6 people died when a vintage B-17 bomber crashed into a fighter plane. The video was posted online. Luckily, nobody was hurt on the ground. But a reason why I never go to these air shows, Shannon. I mean, Thunder Over Louisville, I think I've been before, and I think is a little bit different. But these shows just out in the middle of nowhere with these old planes, it can be very dangerous, and unfortunately, 6 people lost their lives over the weekend.
Well, God bless the family of those pilots. My gosh, man, what a terrible thing! But you're right, man. I'm kind of with you on that. I don't like watching the air shows either because I'm always afraid that something like this is going to happen. And you know that I'm a nervous flyer as it is, so I can't even imagine being in a plane that's doing loops and everything else. I mean, I know Drew went up in one of those.
Blue Angels?
Yeah, Blue Angels. There's no way you could get me to do that. No way.
Yeah, a little Top Gun action and the G-force on your face. Mm-hmm.
Not happening here.
little turbulence on a commercial flight's enough for me.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. I start my palms start sweating every time we get a little bump in the air.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to the phones. Who's next?
All right. Let's go to Brian.
Good morning, Brian.
Morning, gentlemen. I've been thinking about this since the whole NIL thing, and you know, coaches in the past have always referred to, you know, the players as kids, right? Does now that they get paid, does that change? Do we lose that pass of going, you know what, they're just kids, blah, 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 when in fact a lot of these kids are making more than any of us that watch the games? And I'm just curious as to do our expectations as fans increase now that we know that there's money riding on it as well? I know I've got a 19-year-old. I've got a 19-year-old kid myself, and, you know, his expectations are huge for me now because he's serving the military and he's overseas. And so, you know, his responsibilities are huge. These kids have responsibilities, too, for performance. So that's just my question I'm posing to you guys.
Yeah. To me, at the end of the day, whether you're making money or not, you are still a kid in that situation. But I think the argument's always been, okay, you know, you can give criticism to guys at the next level because they're getting paid. They're professional athletes. And now if you're getting paid to play college, doesn't that sort of make you a professional athlete? You're getting paid to play. What do you think, Billy?
And it's based on performance.
Yeah, you know, it's a good question. I mean, I think to some degree you should hold athletes to that type of standard, especially when you're getting paid money and you're asking fans to pay money that eventually goes to these players, right? I mean, if I'm going to sign up for a subscription service for $1,000 a month, I have a feeling that, you know, they should be held responsible if they do play poorly. But one thing you said, Shannon, that they're still going to be 19 years old, right? No matter how much money that you give them, they're still going to be kids. So they are still going to make mistakes that grown men in professional sports should not be akin to make. But also at the same time, Shannon, I kind of want to hold him to that standard. But here's the thing.
I was just saying, what does that mean, too? Does that mean that now we have the right to get on Twitter and send them awful messages? I think the answer is still no. You should not do that. You can't say, well, you're getting paid. Now I feel entitled to jump on Twitter and send awful messages to these players. No, I don't think you do. I don't even think you should do that to professional athletes, you know, the guys in their 30s. So, but no, I think the answer is still no.
And it doesn't excuse the coaches from coaching either. Yeah. It's still their responsibility to coach them up and teach them. So, you know, that responsibility is still there. Their responsibility is still greater than the athlete. But the athlete, in my opinion, the expectations is raised a bit.
Yeah, especially when we're paying money to this collective. So thank you for the call, Brian. It's an interesting conversation. Thank you, Brian. Appreciate it.
So it's not the university paying these kids, but it's actually fans. It's boosters. It's other parties that are injecting the money that's going directly to these kids. So the schools are still going to get their payouts. They'll still get their money from these television deals.
Yeah.
But now with the fans and the other people paying kids, maybe they feel a little bit more entitled. But that's a really good question, though. I think we'll debate that for the next 5 years with NIL.
We're running out of time here. We got three callers, so let's get through.
Can we take one more?
Let's go to Joe. Hey, Joe, what's up?
Hey, Joe.
Yeah, I'll make it quick. You know, you talking about all these coordinators being tried out to the post-game press conference. Well, first of all, we didn't have our special teams coordinator because nobody knows who it is. I think I know who it is, but he wasn't tried out. And where's Mr. Barnhart? Where was he at? This man was told to have the stadium at 65,000. He keeps it at 60,000. So we're one of the smallest stadiums in the SEC. He don't have alcohol sales. And this NIL deal right on the week of Vanderbilt, well, their head wasn't in the game. It was all about the NIL deal. So you keep Stoops. You talk about replacing coordinator, we might be replacing the whole coaching staff if Stoops leaves. I mean, this Barnhart needs to get his ass out there and explain himself. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you for the call, Joe.
Thank you. Frustration's bubbling over a little bit, I think, there. I mean, Mitch Barnhart didn't play the game.
No.
He wasn't responsible for getting the team ready to play.
I think the whole idea was, you know, to announce this the day after the Vanderbilt game, a game that you think that you're going to win. You're not going to announce it after the Georgia game next week, right? And it just all blew up in their face. It was just unfortunate timing. The whole thing is unfortunate.
We'll see what happens today, I guess. I'm sure more will be on KSR next from 10 a.m. to noon. He's Shannon the Dude. I'm Billy Rutledge. We'll see you in Somerset tomorrow. Everybody have a good...
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
VGW Group. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.